I want to speak this morning to you on the claim that Jesus made when he said the words, "I am the bread of life." This saying arose out of a sign that Jesus performed. In the Gospel of John, the miracles are called signs because miracles are just that. They are signs. They are pointers. They are arrows that point you somewhere else. The miracles themselves are not to be the focus of the attention. The miracle is to point us to what should get our attention. They are simply signposts. And so that a sign or a miracle is almost like an object lesson. Many of you will remember in Sunday school, just as I've done, the Sunday school teacher gets up to speak or the preacher gets up to preach and he suddenly pulls out an orange or a banana or he's got a box or he's got bread. And you say to yourself, what is he going to do with that? What does it mean? And so when we look at Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life," what had preceded this was that he had fed the 5,000, which was more than likely a crowd of about 20,000, because it says there were 5,000 men. And so there would have been women and children. And what Jesus does with this object lesson, and I don't know, it doesn't say so, but he may well have picked up a loaf of bread like I've done this morning and held it in front of people, or they would have at least have remembered the bread from the miracle. And he said to them, "I am the bread of life." And so what he does is he makes a connection between the bread and the gospel. You see, the bread is going to illustrate and it's going to unfold what the gospel means and what the gospel is. And you will find that as you work through this passage, we haven't been able to read it. It's got almost 70 verses in it. Jesus claims to be the bread in three different ways. He calls himself the bread from heaven. He's the bread from heaven. This bread is from Pick and Pay, which is why I was slightly late this morning, because they only opened at 8, but I wanted to get fresh bread. Because I'd like to give a loaf to somebody this morning. So just get yourself ready when the stampede comes. So Jesus calls himself the true bread from heaven. He also calls himself the bread of God. The bread of God. And he also calls himself the bread of life. You see, all of these things help to amplify what it means for him to be the bread of life. And so it is out of this context of Jesus feeding this hungry crowd. He says to Philip, you know, how are we going to feed these hungry people? And he goes on to show that in actual fact, it's not that he provides bread, but that he is the bread. And so that all through this passage, Jesus is not wanting them to ask for more bread, but he wants them to believe in him. Because like bread, he can satisfy all their longings and their desires. And so that's what Jesus would have done on this particular occasion. And it would have been very meaningful for the people as they listened. Because from a number of different angles, bread would have made a connection with them, like it would with you. You know, I got these French loaves because it's my favorite, one of my favorite loaves to get. And I don't like the way my wife cuts it into small little rings. Do you know what I mean? They cut them into small little rings. You've got to eat like about 30 of them before you feel that you've had a bite. I believe you just cut it up into one or two. My sons-in-law, they will eat one. They each get one. And they just start at the one end and they work their way down until they get to the second one. But I love this bread. I'm sure it's not very healthy for you, but it's very tasty. But in this particular chapter, Jesus makes four claims about himself as being the bread of heaven. What is it that significantly sets him aside as the bread of heaven? How is it possible that he can make this claim about himself? Now, the first thing I want you to notice, the first claim that Jesus makes, is one that I've already referred to, and that is that he has come from heaven. Jesus says, "This bread, which I am, comes from heaven." I don't know whether you've ever asked the question, where does my food come from? I don't know whether your kids do. You know, we just assume, we just accept, we take things for granted the food appears on the table. But where does our food actually come from, even before it gets to the shop? Where has it come from? Well, Jesus answers that question as far as this bread is concerned, when he tells us that this bread comes from heaven. Now, Jesus was making an incredible claim by saying this, because the crowds go on in verse 41, and they grumble and they complain, and they are not happy with this claim, because they say, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, 'I came from heaven'?" You see, they are not prepared to go the whole way with Jesus. They've already called him a prophet. They said he's the prophet. And they've even wanted to make him king. But they're not prepared to give him the credentials that he is from heaven. Because when you look at that and you hear Jesus saying that, you become aware firstly of his heavenly origin. Of his heavenly origin. That he is the man from heaven. He is the man who came down. And of course this is the way in which John has already introduced Jesus to us, because we are told right at the very beginning, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." You see, here Jesus is claiming to be divine, but he's claiming not just divinity, he is claiming to be God. He is the bread of God himself. And so by claiming his heavenly origin, he is claiming divinity for himself. He is the divine Son of God. But not only is he doing that, he's also taking upon himself the covenant name of God, because by using the words, "I am the bread of life," those words, "I am," would also have rung in the ears of the Jews of the day, because that is how Moses was introduced to God, or how God was introduced to Moses. Because Moses said, "When I go to Pharaoh and he asks me, 'Who sent you? Who should I say has sent you?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am has sent you. Tell Pharaoh, I am has sent you.'" You see, it is the self-sufficient name of God. It is the covenant name of God. And then further on in John's gospel, in John chapter 8, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And here he is saying, "I am the bread of life." You see, when you turn away from Jesus, you are turning away from God. You see? When you receive Jesus, you are receiving God. When you believe on Jesus, you are believing in God. And that is the impact of his words, you see. John chapter 6, in the same section where Jesus is teaching about the bread, he says, "No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father, and he has revealed him to us." You see, in Jesus you have the full revelation of God. If you want to know what God looks like Jesus. Because Jesus is God. He is from heaven. And you see, when Jesus says those words, they are incredible. It's a remarkable claim to make. And it is that truth that we need to come to see. We need to come to see who Jesus is. Because you see, John chapter 6 and the saying, "I am the bread of life," as "I am the light of the world" and "I am the shepherd," all the "I ams," they are all answering the question, who is Jesus? And so the saying, "I am the bread of life," answers that question. He is none other than God in the flesh. But the second thing I want you to notice about the claims of Jesus as far as "I am the bread of life" is concerned is that as the bread of life, Jesus does not only claim to have come from heaven, but he also claims to be the source of eternal life. So Jesus is the one who brings eternal. He says, "Verily, verily, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life." He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. You see, Jesus says to them, your ancestors ate bread in the wilderness, but they died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. You see, when you eat this bread, when you feed on this bread, you will live forever. John 6:33 says, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Gives life to the world. You see, this bread is contrasted with the bread from Pick and Pay. You see, the bread from Pick and Pay, in the words of Jesus, it says this, the bread from Pick and Pay spoils. You will eat it and you will die. It does not sustain you. It does not keep you alive forever. You will get sick. You more than likely get a paunch as well if you eat too much of the French loaf. You see? But the life, the bread that Jesus brings is bread that gives you eternal life. And it is bread that will raise you up at the last day. It will go to the very end. It is eternal. You see, here is bread that gives life, that triumphs over death. And it is everlasting life. It is resurrection life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. And he does that, he can say that, because he is the bread of life. He is the bread of life that comes from heaven. He is the bread of life that gives eternal life. And thirdly, he is the bread of life that commits himself to die on the cross. You see, there's an interesting, which we never read, but I believe a pivotal point in John chapter 6 that you have to take note of. Because right up until verse 50, from verse 1 to verse 50, all that Jesus speaks about is bread. The bread of life, the bread of God, the bread from heaven, the bread and the manna that you ate in the wilderness. He's talking about bread, 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 bread all the time. But when he comes to verse 51, he changes his terminology. He does a transition from bread to flesh. And so the metaphor almost changes. So in verse 51, he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. That's all that we've been hearing from Jesus up until now. I am the living bread that has come down from heaven that gives eternal life. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You see, built into the concept of the bread is the death of Jesus. Built into the bread of life is the death of Jesus. Verse 53, Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now listen to this. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. You know, we always worried about the real thing, the real McCoy. You see, what Jesus is actually saying here is that his flesh and his blood are in actual fact the epitome of real food. What he is saying to them is the bread that he fed them around the Sea of Galilee is not real food. It doesn't do what food ought to do. But my flesh and my blood, this is always real food. And when you come and eat of that, you will never hunger again, and you will never thirst when you've drunk. And so you see here, Jesus is pointing us again to himself and showing us that he doesn't come to provide bread. He comes as bread. He comes to offer himself. And it is not separated from the cross. And you see, the implication of this is that in order for Jesus to be that bread, he must die. You know, there's an interesting verse in John chapter 12, verse 24, where Jesus is speaking about his death. You'll read on, it says, and he went on to say this in reference to his death. He says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." You see, for the bread to become a reality, the wheat has to fall into the ground and die. Because then it will germinate and then it will multiply. And it will feed and it will bear much fruit. You see, Jesus is the bread of life at huge cost to himself. It cost him his life. You see, without the cross, there is no bread. Without the cross, there is no food. The cross is our food. The death and the resurrection is what we feed on. It's what gives us hope. You see? Eternal life is costly. Jesus paid the price. You see? So you see, when Jesus stood up and he said, "I am the bread of life," he was committing himself to dying on the cross. Because he knew that he could only become that bread once he had died. This is a little bit of a crude illustration. But you know, when you eat a hamburger, all you're eating is a dead cow. Somebody had to die. An animal had to die. In actual fact, all the food you eat is dead. The peas, the cabbage, it's ripped from the ground, it's ripped from its roots. Bacon and eggs. Okay, the chicken only contributes, but the poor old pig has to die. And you see, it's either Jesus dies so that we can live, that we can eat, or he lives and we die and have no food. His flesh and blood, his death is our life, is our bread, is our food. And the fourth thing that Jesus says in this verse, in this passage, John chapter 6, this tremendous passage on the teaching of the bread of life. The fourth thing he says, he firstly speaks about the bread of life as coming from heaven. He speaks about the bread of life as giving eternal life. He speaks about the bread of life as dying on the cross. And the fourth thing that you'll notice throughout this passage and throughout John's gospel is that as the bread of life, Jesus calls people to eat. He calls people to eat. You see, a loaf of bread is not worth anything unless you eat it, unless you take it when it is offered to you. Now, I'm going to ask a question. Would anybody like a loaf of bread this morning? Now, isn't that interesting? You were all too scared to come and take it. You were suspicious. You were proud. you were not going to be the one to stand up and walk to the front and take this bread. After all that I've said to you about bread. You know, that's exactly how the people responded to Jesus after he said to them, I'm from heaven, I bring eternal life, and I will die for you. You know, in verse 66 of chapter 6, you know, I can't get around this verse because it simply says this, from this time many disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They just didn't like the teaching. They were not only offended, they were angry with Jesus to make such a claim. And for him to have the audacity to call upon them to eat his flesh and drink his blood, they weren't going to come to Christ. You know, J.C. Ryle, in his commentary on John's Gospel, he asks this question, what does it mean to come to Christ? What does it mean to come to Christ? And his answer is this, it means that movement of the soul which takes place when a man, feeling his sins and finding out that he cannot save himself, hears of Christ, applies to Christ, trusts in Christ, lays hold on Christ, and leans all his weight on Christ for salvation. When this happens, a man is said in scripture language to have come to Christ. Can I say to you that John chapter 6 has got nothing to do with Holy Communion? So don't get false images in your mind. There's no reference whatsoever. In actual fact, to show you how ludicrous it is, Holy Communion hadn't yet even been instituted. It came much later. But you see, eating is believing. The proof of the pudding is in the eating thereof. You've got to eat. You've got to come and eat. And whoever, Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. You see, Jesus wants to have that relationship with you. He wants to be your bread. He wants to be your bread. And he wants you to feed on him by faith in your heart. You know, the crowd thought that they could do something to earn it. And they come to Jesus and they say, what must we do to do the works of God? Notice that. What must we do? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe on the one he has sent. You see, like I offered that loaf of bread, I'm not going to offer a loaf of bread unless I'm a sadist of some kind. And as the person gets up here, I pull it away and I say, I was only playing the fool. You know, Jesus says this, that whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. Whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. Jesus will never turn you away. But everyone who comes, everyone who eats of this bread, will have eternal life, and Jesus will raise you up at the last day. He'll raise you up. That bread, like your food, enters your soul and gives it eternal life. You know, the real issue that we are addressing here this morning is, what are you feeding on? What is your food? You know what I mean. Is it the food of this world? The food of materialism? The food of humanism? The food that perishes? How we crave that food. You know, we crave all the wrong foods. It's the food that spoils. It's the food for this life, but it's not the food for eternal life. It's the food of possessions and materialism that never satisfies, and you'll always want to go back for more. But Jesus declares, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. When you come to Jesus, you'll never ever get hungry again. You'll never be thirsty again because he satisfies in such a way, because his flesh is real food and his blood is real drink. And there is a fundamental way in which we come to Jesus and we search and we long for, but when we come to find him, our search comes to an end. You know, the psalmist said this, taste and see that the Lord is good. And really, that is what I want to leave in your minds this morning as we think of Jesus as the bread of life. I just want to leave that thought with you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Would you bow with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to thank you for Jesus. We come to thank you that he is the bread of life, that he comes from heaven, that he gives eternal life, that he died on the cross, and he calls us to put our faith in him. Lord, so work in us this morning that we will put our faith in Jesus, and we will always believe and always trust him and feed on him as the bread of life. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.